Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Bam!
Yo!
Good morning on a Friday from New York City. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key here with you and...
with the blue men.
Yeah, we did not plan this, but I think it matches. It looks good. How we go uniforms. That'd be nice. All I know is I'm comfortable.
Look like a Vegas show.
And you are definitely influencing me more and more every day that I work with you because comfort is everything. I'm that guy that wears a suit all the time on the air, so this kind of feels good.
Yeah, I don't want you wearing suits at 6 a.m. in the morning.
No, it's tough to wear suits at 6 a.m., but still. But you know what, though? Man, what is going on? Like, how do you feel about what's happening right now with – the Yankees-Red Sox game gets postponed last night. Coming out of the All-Star break, you got six Yankees now in the protocol. You had two players off USA Basketball. Bradley Beal probably won't go to Olympics again because of this. We're seeing a lot of people are vaccinated, but a lot of people aren't. Is COVID coming back? Like, are you concerned?
I'm not a doctor.
I'm kind of feeling like, come on, you don't have to be if you read headlines. I'm kind of feeling like, are we heading back the wrong way all of a sudden? You know, just when you thought it was safe?
Please don't say that.
I don't want to say it, but how can you not think it when this is what we're seeing? How can you not think it? Already canceling a game. How could you not think it? That's all I'm saying.
But maybe those individuals are not vaccinated and, you know.
Actually, there are players who are.
But I'm saying there are players who are, but then the ones that they had to put in the protocol, maybe they're not,
man, is what I'm saying.
Because everybody is not vaccinated. Some people choose not to do it because they have whatever belief they have.
And yeah,
that's their right. And then there's others that are. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't want to.
We'll talk to Buster only later in the show. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket on a Friday morning. I'm just saying it's like, you know, when we talk, you know, we're in the midst
What's
of talking sports.
Blanket?
What happens when you take a wet blanket and you put it on a fire?
I've never tried that.
Puts the fire out.
Is that right? I wasn't that bad as a kid to do that.
The point is that it just, you know, like it just takes the fun out of it. That's all. But the point is that it's just something that was heavily on my mind and we'll talk to Buster only later on the show about last night's game. It's supposed to be on ESPN last night, you know, Red Sox, Yankees to begin the second half of the baseball season. And suddenly you don't have a game and all this stuff's going on. And wait a minute, why is this coming back in our world again?
But guess what,
Bradley Beal.
We still got sports.
We have the NBA Finals, which is tomorrow, another day of that. We're getting closer and closer to NFL training camps.
That's it. 5 days away.
Mm-hmm.
I can smell it.
Five?
Four or five.
Next
close.
So it's next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start today. Brought to you by Indeed. Hiring. Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm good. I just, like I said, I got this mask sitting here right here, and I'm saying to myself, are you back in my life again?
You're all right. 3 hours, 57 minutes. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe that's why I'm a little – but maybe that's why I'm anxious about it, because going away on vacation, going around the country does make you now think, like, wait a minute, you know, is this thing back in my life? That's all. That's all I'm saying. But still in our lives, NBA Finals. We talked about how Game 4 was supposed to be a Devin Booker game. It was. They didn't win, but he played great.
Lights out. He did Devin Booker things. I mean, that's what he did.
Is Game 5 Chris Paul's game?
You want to see a better game from Chris Paul, clearly, than you did from Game 3 and 4. There's no question about it. And I think you will. I think for whatever, if it's a nagging injury here, he's had 2 days to kind of get some treatment, relax, settle things down. If it was the environment, even though he's been 16 years, sometimes it doesn't matter. That knot in that stomach, certain things, you're so close, you get nervous. Anything, you start pressing, all sorts of stuff. Now he's at home. They're at home. They're going back to Phoenix to try to get one up on Milwaukee. And I think I think Chris Paul understands the importance of playing well in Game 5, because you don't want to play bad, lose this game, and have to go back to Milwaukee and deal
facing
with that whole situation and face elimination. Because the moment that somebody gets a win on the road, it's probably going to be a wrap.
The three games left, obviously tied at two. Right, winning on the road for the Bucks is going to have to happen if they're going to win this series. So that's what makes Game 5 critical, certainly, for them to get that road win. But Chris Paul talked about it. He had five turnovers. He did not shoot the ball. It was 5 of 13 from the field. Oh, he missed both of his threes. He did have seven assists, but it was the five turnovers out of the team's 17 that bothered him the most. And he talked about, now, okay, series heads back to Phoenix. They just lost two in a row. Here's Chris Paul and what needs to happen in order for them to be prepared for the next game.
You know, you can't just bank on the fact that you got home court. You got to go out there and play the game. You know what I'm saying? You got to go out there and execute. So we'll do that. We'll do that. We tend to respond well, but it's easy. We know what we got to do. We know what we got to do. Be better.
Be better. Well, for him, obviously, it's that was a struggle, that game four for him. Concerns about his injury. We'll get to that in a moment. But as I mentioned, Devin Booker with the 42 points in game four. Great bounce back from game three. And he was in the zone in game four of the NBA Finals. Get in the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So Monty Williams did talk about Chris Paul's health, or at least was asked about it. Now, you don't expect the coach to reveal much now. Like Kawhi Leonard, remember during that series? Ah, it's a sprained knee.
Well,
every day it was like sprained knee, sprained knee, sprained knee. Then afterwards, you find out it was a torn ACL.
Well, it was partially torn. Every doctor.
A partial tear is still a tear.
Well, every doctor describes something different, though.
Yeah.
Some people say sprained knee, some people say a little tear. Yeah. You're not supposed to reveal medical information. That was one of the worst things that when I was playing football, that somebody would reveal the medical information about a player just because you got to put him on a list because he got a little bit of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm not telling you what's wrong with me.
Because you don't want anybody to know.
I just don't want people to know.
Yeah, but he wasn't coming back. But the point I'm making is, though, is other people, you kind of like were shooting down my theory that the ligament damage that they talked about going into the series, because I know he had a great game one, and he actually had a really good second half game two.
Yeah.
But the way he was handling the basketball in game four, that didn't look like a guy that was confident handling the basketball and also not confident shooting it. And the ligament damage on the shooting hand. Others have brought this up all yesterday. That's all a lot of people were talking about.
Because you started it early in the morning.
Sure. So the point is, I think there's something with the wrist now, I think it's the hand or the wrist, the ligaments. He had 2 days off between games. We'll see if maybe some treatment will make that better. But Monty Williams was asked about Chris Paul's health when it comes to all the various injuries he's dealt with during the playoffs.
He's fine. You know, great players have games like that. We expect him to bounce back. You know, he had five, but we had 17, and they scored 24 points. You know what I mean? That was pretty much the game right there. And then you double that up with the offensive rebounding. So it wasn't just Chris. As a team tonight, we got to take better care of the ball.
See, the reason I poo-poo on things that you say about the injury, I'm watching the highlights on ESPN2, and I'm watching him make passes, has nothing to do with handling of the basketball. He's in a corner in a panic situation. The defender slides where he's throwing the ball because he reacted faster than Chris Paul. I don't think that has anything with handling the basketball. He's at the top of the three-point line. He goes to pass over the pass across court. His teammate isn't where he thought he was going to be. That didn't look like anything wrong with the wrist. It just didn't.
I mean, I do think, though, you make decisions. Like, if he was more aggressive in attacking, like we saw him earlier in the series, you're confident. But if he's hesitant and holding up, that's when that stuff can happen. It's like a quarterback.
Well, you get the
same thing.
But you got to get your feel. I've been in situations in games where I'm like, man, I probably should have gone this way for two more yards, but damn, I stepped out of bounds. And then I come back later on, and I become more aggressive.
So you think we should give more credit to the Bucks for what they did defensively against them?
I think so.
All right, we shall see.
Because it looked like they were crowding pretty good.
We're not going to know until after the series whether or not this thing was an issue, but we'll see in Game 5 if he can bounce back. By the way, coverage of Game 5 NBA Finals, it does begin tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on TV. On ABC. And yes, the NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night, Game 5, Suns Bucks, presented by Indeed. As I mentioned, coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Coming up next, Cam Newton and his outlook for this season. Hear what he told us yesterday. It was a very compelling interview. If you missed it, we'll play some of the highlights for you coming up next after Key tells us about Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers solutions for every industry, along with supplies, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. That's what I'm talking about. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just simply stop by.
Cam Newton will live up to the expectations. This is why Bill Belichick went out and loaded the deck.
I guess it's now time for me to uphold my end of the bargain, doing everything that I know I'm capable of doing.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Cam Newton getting ready for season two with the New England Patriots. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cam joined us yesterday on the show, and Key asked him about his health and how he feels his shoulder, and he also used an SAT word. See if you can spot it.
Now that you're saying, you know, you're a little more comfortable with the situation, knowing that you didn't really have an off season at all, the training camp was truncated, and you went through some stuff on the second half of the season from a COVID standpoint, how are you feeling right now? How's the shoulder feeling?
Everything's good. I'm healthy. I'm lean. I'm trying to, you know, do all the things that I can do at this particular point, you know, and I think in the off season, you know, everybody's confident. Everybody's, you know, exuberant about, you know, the possibilities of the year. And, you know, I'm no different. So right now I want to do the things that I know I can control. I don't want to do the things that I know I have, you know, the capabilities to better myself. And that's working out daily, working on diet and then nutrition, staying in the book, you know, making the proper necessary you know, things that, you know, can benefit me in the long run.
With all the negativity, obviously, you know, and I know you didn't play well from a passing mm-hmm. standpoint toward the end of the season last year, and so much negativity about what you were at the quarterback spot. But the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniel, and Mr. Kraft certainly felt that that wasn't the case. They offered you a one-year deal. You took it. Why not test free agency and give yourself another opportunity with another team at that time?
No, it's not. It's not even about, you know, testing or doing certain things. It's just knowing it's a standard, right? And, you know, for me, you know, the Patriots organization has been, you know, impeccable, you know, with the addition of, you know, Patricia, you know, he's been great as well. You know, just so my time has been there, it's just been, you know, everything I could have asked for, you know, is I guess it's now, you know, time for me to uphold my end of the bargain through and through and, you know, doing everything that I know I'm capable of doing and staying all in my wheelhouse. So I think that's what it comes down to, you know, as far as the expectations from, you know, what I've expected from Bill and, you know, Josh and those guys, they've been excellent. And, you know, we're just going to keep pushing forward.
One thing we've noticed with Bill Belichick, when he talks about you, I mean, he raves about you. I mean, he's always extremely positive about you and what he expects from you, what he thinks you can still do in this game. What is your relationship like with him now that you've gotten that full a season with him, an off season with him? Can you describe what that relationship is like and what you know about him?
I mean, it's pretty much cut and dry, straightforward. You know, Dollar Bill is a person who he's a straight shooter. His expectations are what they are, and they're not this unrealistic, you know, achievement that, you know, everybody would expect. It's all about preparation. It's all about, you know, doing the things that you are capable of doing and holding yourself up to that standard each and every day, each and every practice, each and every meeting. And that's all you can ask from a head coach. And, you know, it trickles down from everybody else, you know, from the top of the head to the to everybody that's in the locker room. So, you know, if you got a guy that's you know, intertwined with everything that's moving forward, just like, you know, Coach Bill is, you know, everybody else, you know, kind of beats to the same drum.
Cam, this offseason they spent $200+ million to go out and get, you know, a bunch of weapons for you, whether it's Nelson Aguilar, whether it's Kendrick Bourne, the tight ends. They drafted running back, bringing back White in the backfield, all the different things. But yet and still, they went out and drafted a quarterback in Mac Jones. Did you know at all, did you have any communications throughout the process that the Patriots would select a quarterback in the first round?
I mean, you know, I mean, come on, man, let's be honest. I've been playing this game long enough to know, like, that's the right pick. And I've said it numerous of times that, you know, what you're not going to get out of me is a disgruntled person. You know, Mac and Cheese is a person who is, ever since I've seen him, has came on into the locker room with the business approach, you know, doing the initiatives of learning his teammates, understanding that, you know, I got to raise my level of play, you know, from the collegiate level to the professional level. And I'm here for him, and as well as he is here for me, just like, you know, Stidham, just like Brian Hoyer. It's no different. You know, our job is to be the best player that we could possibly be for the New England Patriots. No matter what is asked of us, it's our job to be that. So that's what it pretty much comes down to. So when Mac was picked, you know, there was no type of ill will feelings, and there's still no ill will feelings. Because, you know, competition breeds out the best in everybody.
Cam, do you look at him, though, as competition, or do you feel like, you know, you have the confidence of who you are and that QB1 is still what you are?
Man, I look at everybody as competition. I look at y'all as competition. You know what I'm saying? So you're talking to a competitor. You know, I look for any and everything to drive me and to push me to my greatest self. So, you know, no type of clickbait to just say, you know, oh my God, Mac and Cheese, or, you know, Cam views him as competition. I look at everything as competition. I look at last season's production as competition, you know. So, yeah, I take it personal. Yeah, I take it, you know, in a way that I know who I am. You know, at times I do, for, you know, remind myself, people forget who you are and what you've done. So now, you know, I'm in a position now where, you know, I need to be my best self, and it's really put up or shut up time.
Are you still that guy? I mean, you know, you sound like it. Are you still that guy? Early in the season, before you dealt with COVID, there were signs of that player that we, you know, we grow to love in the NFL. Like, do you really feel physically, mentally, you're still that guy?
I think it's no proving that right now, you know, and that's where I'm at mentally. That's where I'm at, you know, and understanding that, you know, now with, you know, a couple months before the season, everybody's looking for something to get excited about or rave about or just say, oh, man, that's BS. Who, you know, we don't need him to be talking like this, or he doesn't need to be talking like this in early July. But, you know, the truth is I'm doing everything that I know to get myself to the position where I know where I need to be. And that's just to put this team in the best situation to win football games. And that's all that matters.
What a response to those. I thought he was great, Key. I thought the answers that he gave were genuine, were honest, and was a great look into where he is right now in his career. That is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We'll get more. We'll discuss more about Cam, what he said, and the season ahead of him later on in the show. But coming up next, will we finally get the CP3 performance in the NBA Finals we've all been waiting for? We'll answer that after telling you about Goodyear. So Goodyear knows when the playoffs heat up, so do the possibilities. The underdogs begin to emerge, and the top seeds are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
The two X factors are Jrue Holiday and Chris Paul. You're not exactly sure what you are going to get offensively from those two.
But the only way we can win this series is to get a win on the road. So we got to find a way to get this one next.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Summertime, baby. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Yes, coverage Game 5 NBA Finals tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio. To talk about it more with us, we go to the Goodyear Hotline. Frank Isola, you see him on Around the Horn often. Also, Yes Network and the host of the starting lineup on SiriusXM NBA Radio in a little bit. So he joins us right now this morning. Frankie, good morning. How you doing?
Boys, what's going on? How you guys doing?
What's happening, Frank?
I'm ready for the summer.
Yeah, I'm already ready for the summer.
Yes, you are. I can feel
if
it.
My toes
I love how he's West Coast. He's West Coast Keyshawn, who's become East Coast Keyshawn.
Oh. Nah, that's not true. don't start lying to yourself, Frank.
Dude, I've seen you strutting around the South Street people. You fit in right with New York. Even, come on, man. Even you know that. You're more of a New Yorker than a California guy.
You know why he's so New York, Frank? Because he's miserable every day. Like, he's already, like, right? Like, he fits in because he just complains about everything. He's like, yeah, you hate it so much that you love it, but he fits in.
Yeah, well, that's why his attitude, it resonates with me. It was funny. One day we're in the South Street. We're in the studio there, and Tony Reale is way too loud. All of a sudden, you just hear, "Will you guys shut up?" I turn around; it's Keyshawn walking.
You're screaming and hollering. Speaking of being not happy about something, I'm not happy about this comparison of the Giannis block versus the LeBron James 2016 playoff block. What's your take on it? Is Giannis's, I don't know, better than LeBron's? Does it save the Milwaukee Bucks? Does it change everything?
Well, I mean, we do become kind of prisoner of the moment. I think that the degree of difficulty probably on Giannis is because he's recovering and then he's, you know, getting up high, and not many guys in the NBA could do what he did. We have seen guys like Tayshaun Prince chase down Reggie Miller, but come on now. LeBron's block happened in a Game 7 in the NBA Finals against a 73-win Golden State Warrior team. The game was tied at that point. Remember, if DeAndre Ayton converts that dunk, it's still a tie game. So that's not to say that Milwaukee's going to lose. It was an unbelievable play. I don't think there's many guys in the league that could make it. Plus, guys, remember, you know, the series started with us not even knowing if Giannis was going to play. And here he is making one of the most athletic plays you're ever going to see in an NBA Finals game. I'm still going to put the LeBron one first just because of the impact that it had in that moment under the circumstance.
And think about it, Frank. Next time you see the highlight, look at LeBron's face and head and neck all go back because he was getting ready to face plant right into the backboard and shatter it.
You're right. And also, you know, let's remember, too, I know LeBron is trying to say that, you know, last year's win in the bubble was his greatest win. I think he said his chef wasn't there. That's why it was one of the challenges. Come on, man. Him winning with that Cleveland team, coming back from 3-1 down, against that Golden State team That team won 73 games. The Phoenix team is terrific, but the 73-win Warriors, that's at a different level. Plus, they had already won a championship. That win for LeBron is everything about his legacy and his career.
I completely agree. You know, not having your chef and masseuse in the bubble, I mean, it's an inspiration. Yes. You were able to get
Keyshawn would know about that. He's, you know, a big hotshot NFL football player.
No, Frank, I cook myself. I'm my own chef.
Nice.
Actually, yeah, he is nice. A foodie. Another thing that, by the way, Frank, another thing that Key doesn't agree with me about, although I guess we agree on the block thing. I mean, we completely agree that the block was a great play, but please don't put it in comparison to LeBron's because of the context of when it happened. But I looked at Chris Paul's game in game four, and I know you know this too. Going into the finals, there was talk about ligament damage to his shooting hand, and the time off actually helped him kind of recover a little bit forward. He had a terrific game one, a really good second half of game two, but his game four was not good. The turnovers, he even talked about it. He didn't look good. Is it a credit to the Bucks defense on him, or are we thinking maybe there's some issues with him with that hand, that he's not handling the ball well because of it, and that impacted the way he played?
Yeah, that one turnover that came, remember, Giannis blocked the shot, Bucks came down, Chris Middleton missed two shots on the same possession, and then it was that Chris Paul turnover where he kind of slipped. So obviously his hand has to be bothering him. I thought Mike Breen at one point mentioned that he was grabbing his hand. But let's give Drew Holiday credit. Drew Holiday can't make a shot. He was 4-for-20. But the dude is built like a linebacker. He's big and strong. I think he's starting to wear down Chris Paul. You know, Chris Paul, the first 15 playoff games that he appeared in this postseason, he had 24 turnovers. He has 15 in the last three games. So clearly something is going on there. So it's got to be a combination of Drew Holiday's defense. But, you know, Chris Paul isn't 100%. And, at this point, he's not going to tell anybody, nor is anyone going to feel any sympathy for him. But that's something that they have to figure out, because Phoenix outplayed Milwaukee. And I thought Devin Booker was outstanding. I mean, when he had the 18 points in the third quarter, and I'm like, this guy's going to get 50. And I know lightning may strike me when I say this, but there were times in that third quarter where I'm like, he reminds you of Kobe Bryant. He's just taking his man, backing him down, twisting, turning, hitting these like incredible fadeaway jumpers, because the defense was actually pretty good on him. But he was just making really tough shots. And I thought the big moment of the game was that fifth foul when he had to go to the bench. I think he sat for 4:55. Now, when he came back, they still had the lead, but he was on such a roll. That fifth foul was huge.
Frank Isola, Yes Network studio host and Around the Horn panelist, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Frank, you talked about Devin Booker, and we talked about how he is emerging and be legendary and all of those sort of things. In game three, he was 3-for-14, 10 points. They basically shut him all the way down. He bounced back with a ridiculous 40-plus point game. Is he a superstar or is he a star right now in the NBA?
Yeah, see, I think he's on the verge of becoming a superstar. I do the show with Brian Scalabrine, and Brian's like, I don't think he could ever win MVP. I said, why not? He could. I mean, he's already scored 70 points in a game, and I know that was in a loss. I think he's completely kind of changed the way that he thinks about the game, the way that he plays. It's not just about scoring. He's trying to win. I think he has the right attitude, the right kind of game. I love the way that he looked walking off the court after the game. The guy is all business. He even wears a suit now to every game. I think that, like, he wants to change everything about him. I don't know. For him to bounce back the way that he did in that game four, said everything. And Keyshawn, I thought this. And Alan knows about this. That was a sixth foul on him. I'm thinking, what does the dude have to do to get a sixth foul? Does he have to hit somebody in the head with a lead pipe?
I mean,
that's a superstar non-call.
He even went to the bench.
It was a makeup call.
He went to the bench at one point because he thought he fouled out.
Yeah, but
he picked up three fouls after he picked up his fifth, and he wasn't called for one.
He wasn't called for one of them.
But Frank, that was a makeup call on the P.J. Tucker nudge when P.J. went flying half court.
Come on, that wasn't. But that wasn't like a touch foul. I mean, he clobbered.
Yeah, but it was a makeup call Holiday. Because you think about it. It was a makeup call because earlier he touched P.J. Tucker, and P.J. Tucker went all the way to half court. So the ref basically
and you know
said,
fault
"We're
that
gonna
is?
Take care
Jay
of that."
Crowder. Every time Jay Crowder gets touched, he's flopping all over the court. So P.J. Tucker is saying, "Okay, I'm now going to flop," and the referees were put in a position where they had to call it. I understand what you're saying, but that's sixth foul on him. I don't know how they didn't call it. And by the way, Phoenix was up two at the time. So if Giannis didn't get that putback, Phoenix comes down and scores. And if Phoenix had won the game, that whole sequence would have been the story of the game. Thankfully, that's not what you know, that's not what we're all focused on. It's other stuff that happened in what was a great game four. But that was I've seen some, like, strange calls over the years. That one goes right into the top five, in my opinion.
Who has the edge in game five Saturday night on ABC ESPN Radio, Frank, in Phoenix? It's probably 200 degrees in Phoenix right now. But who has the edge?
I'm going to give it to Phoenix because I do think offensively, even though I love the way Middleton played, I think Devin Booker is the best offensive player in the series. I think the fact that they're at home, obviously they've been a very good home team. My only thing about Milwaukee, and I thought this, you know, at those net games, I thought at some point they were going to take a road game. There's just something about the team. They drive you nuts when you watch them play. The beginning of that game, it was insane with the poor shots that they were taking. Giannis, who dominated the paint, now all of a sudden he's taking these, you know, three-point shots, which he shouldn't be doing. But at some point, Milwaukee, I still think they're going to find a way to get a road win here. But I do think that Phoenix does have the edge in game five.
Yeah, it's all about, so far it's always been about the home team. Hey, Frank, is there concern about USA basketball right now going into this Olympics? Not necessarily. I mean, yes, the losses were the concern. I think Pop was suggesting some guys weren't really in the best shape while the teams they played. Nigeria certainly looked like a team that was in great shape, and Mike Brown did a great job with them. But now also with Bradley Beal and the COVID concern, now he's now off the roster. It's one less guy, one less, you know, all-NBA talent on that roster. Should we be concerned going into this Olympics whether or not they can get the gold?
I think they have to be concerned. I have to think that Greg Popovich, you know, I was there in 04 when, you know, Greg Popovich was the assistant to Larry and they lost three times in Athens. And that was a really young team that they had, you know, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo were coming off their rookie years. I think you have to be concerned because, you know, what if they played Slovenia and Luka Doncic just had a crazy game where he went for 35 in a 40-minute game? He's obviously capable of doing that. And Bradley Beal is certainly a top six player on the team. Now he's going to be out. Kevin Durant must be thinking, do I need this aggravation? I've already won two Olympic gold medals. I just came off a series, which I should. My team is healthy. We have the best team in the NBA. We better not go all the way to Tokyo and lose the darn gold medal. But remember, you know, before they won that game the other night, they had lost four or five games, if you include the last two, you know, two of the games over in China for the World Cup and then the two exhibition games. And Greg Popovich is going to be a lot of pressure on him. I mean, listen, he's had an outstanding career as an NBA coach, but as a national team coach, they finished seventh at the FIBA World Cup, and now you're going into the Olympics where, yes, you're still the favorite, which actually puts a little bit more pressure on them. So could they get picked off? Absolutely. I don't think it's such a sure thing as it was the last couple of times we went to the Olympics, that's for sure.
Do you think that – are we losing the novelty again, just like that team? I mean, you remember, obviously, the Dream Team – you know, you had a couple of those Olympics where all the superstars wanted to play. They all wanted to be part of it. Everybody's all in. It feels like the novelty's wearing off. I understand this is, you know, extenuating circumstance because of the short off season and the way the NBA season went. But, I mean, will we see it again in the next Olympics where the great, all the top players, I doubt we'll see LeBron again. We'll probably never see LeBron in Olympics again. But still, the top players will be in it. KD's in it, but we are missing a lot of the big names.
Yeah, and I think the disappointing one, but I understand it to your point, is a guy like Steph Curry, who's accomplished everything in his career. The only thing he hasn't done, he hasn't played for the national team in Olympics, which having an Olympic gold medal is a pretty cool thing. I do think it'll eventually get back to that. I'm always of the belief, you know, what they're trying to do is make the Olympic tournament not as big as the World Cup. FIBA is trying to do what FIFA does, where the Olympics for soccer, remember, for the men, right, it's a U23 tournament, and you're allowed, I think, to have two, three, or four wild card players who are above the age of 23. Maybe that's something they should adopt for the basketball as well, where, you know, it's a U23 tournament and give each team two, three, or four wild cards, players that are over that. And maybe that would change it up. Maybe it actually make it a little bit more competitive. Mm-hmm. As well, I do think, to your point, I think because the last 2 years with what's gone on in the NBA short off season, I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of these star players, including Steph Curry, is probably thinking, you know what, I want to gear up for next season. I'm going to get Klay Thompson back. We got the high draft pick. Maybe we'll make a trade. Maybe we could really make a run for it next season. I think that's why Steph Curry didn't want any part of it.
I completely agree with you there. Yeah, LeBron, you know, Kobe, they were sort of the leaders of getting everybody back together and doing this thing again. And now with those two guys aren't part of it. You wonder who are going to be the ones that are the magnets that attract the stars to say, yeah, we want to be part of this too. I just thought it was something to keep an eye on. We certainly will. Frank, good to talk to you, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, Frank.
Good talking to you guys. Keyshawn, stay miserable, man. It's the way to go.
It's the way to be.
I'm not miserable.
Frank Isola, you see him on the Round the Horn. He joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Road to camp. We continue it with another question for you this morning, Keyshawn.
Mm-hmm.
So how about let's talk about teams we might be sleeping on this season. You could join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also hit us up at Key J and Z on Twitter to answer this question. If we're missing any teams, you let us know. Teams we're sleeping on this season. I will begin with a team that you haven't been exactly positive about, the Arizona Cardinals. Are we sleeping on them?
I don't think
could they be good?
Can they win 9 games? Yes.
Well, that's...
Can they be over 500? Yes. Are they a strong playoff contending team that can make some noise because they acquired A.J. Green along with J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt, right?
I mean, I guess they could, but it's a tough division.
Yeah.
When you stack from top to bottom in that division with Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams, who I predict is probably going to finish in third place despite going out and getting Matthew Stafford, doesn't mean they're not going to win 12, 11 games. It just means that they're going to finish in third place, in my opinion.
Which is going to be a good division.
Which
right.
is a great division. And so when you look at Arizona, you know, I like Kyler Murray for this system. I like, obviously, what they do in terms of getting guys numbers and things of that nature. I just don't think offensively it works in this league full time. It put too much pressure on the defensive side of the ball. So, no, I wouldn't say that we're sleeping on them at all.
Okay. How about the Baltimore Ravens? You sleeping on them in that division?
I think you.
Where
I think,
we're not really talking about them a lot right now.
I think you are sleeping on them. It's interesting because all we did as sports analysts or whatnot is complain about the lack of passing game, the lack of weapons on the perimeter. They went out and got Sammy Watkins in free agency. They drafted Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. That's what we were screaming at. They took him at 27, I think it was, in the draft. So they've upgraded that position. They got two new receiver coaches to come in and teach those guys how to play. And Lamar Jackson is now taking snaps from underneath the center. So he's getting into some sort of, if you want to call it, traditional style offensive system to a degree, along with his matching his skill set. So I think people are sleeping on them a little bit. They lose, obviously, a few players on the defensive side of the ball, but they still got shut down corners. I mean, I'm not sleeping on them, but I'm sure people out there
well,
are.
All we're talking about is the Cleveland Browns, right? All we're talking about is the Cleveland Browns and what they can be. I mean,
you're either talking about the Cleveland Browns or you're talking about what Pittsburgh doesn't have.
Yeah, right, the other end of it. But we aren't really saying a lot about the Ravens. You know, again, Lamar Jackson, Dobbins, that running game is really good. The offensive line's very good. Their defense is every year always good. So that's a team I think we're sleeping on. All right, so you agree on that one. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Sleeping on them? I feel like this is the it's all or not. Like, this is the year it has to happen for them if it's ever going to happen with Kirk Cousins.
And you're right, but Minnesota's a heartbreaker. The Vikings are heartbreakers, and Kirk Cousins continue to cash in. He hasn't been able to get them over the hump. Yeah, they've won a couple playoff games in his tenure, along with Mike Zimmer at the coaching as the coach. But when you look at it, it's just one of those deals where every single year we anoint them as one of the top dogs coming out of the division, and all of a sudden they lose clunkers in games that they shouldn't lose, and they make a late run during the season. They get their stuff together, but by then, their wins, they haven't been able to stack up the win total, so they wind up looking like a bad team going into the offseason. I think that when you talk about Justin Jefferson and Thielen, and you look at Dalvin Cook and Kirk Cousins, the defensive side of the ball,
they've upgraded,
they think, in the secondary, which was one of their problems early last year, missing players in and out of the lineup. So when you talk about that, you think, okay, I don't know that we're sleeping on them. I just don't know where they're at right
them.
Now.
You don't trust know where them they're at. To believe in them? I mean, only if they're playing the Saints do they ever pull off those kind of upsets. Let's take a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Trey is in Little Rock. Who do you got for us, Trey? Who are we sleeping on?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up?
What's up, man?
Man. Hey, what are we going to do this year, man? What the Cowboys going to do, man?
Are we sleeping on the Cowboys?
I'm not sleeping on them. I don't think you're sleeping on them. I think people, it's one of those, yeah, and then all of a sudden they let you down in the end. It's not what you thought. And I think this is the actual
year. I think Louis Riddick was the one when we asked him about the Cowboys.
Well, that's the thing. It's just
Washington is that
team. You're tired of praising them in the preseason, then all of a sudden at the end of the year, they sitting here with us. I think that's what it is. It's America's team. They re-signed Dak Prescott. They got Ezekiel Elliott back in the fold. We know what they have on the perimeter in CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is there. So the three receiving cores put together. The defensive side of the ball, they went out and got Michael Parsons. They signed Dan Quinn to be their defensive coordinator. We know what Dan Quinn is built his resume on in the National Football League up in Seattle with Bobby Wagner in that group, what Atlanta was able to do early on in his coaching career on the defensive side. So all of that now is the hype. And if they don't win 12 or 13 games and win the division running away, it'll just be all for nothing.
That's what we always deal with the Cowboys is the hype, and does it ever live up to the hype? Maybe this season it finally does. Dale in Virginia has a team.
I feel like it is, though. I do. I really do. All right. I think so.
Dale has another interesting team here that we might be sleeping on. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, good morning, man. I think we're sleeping on the Washington football team.
No, I don't think we're sleeping on the Washington football team.
You might not be. We're not. But we're saying to everybody. I agree with Dale. I think Washington is a team that we don't talk about a lot because Ryan Fitzpatrick's the quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say the offense isn't sexy.
I mean, you've got a coach who obviously knows what he's doing.
You have a coach in Ron Rivera and another coach, a former coach, Jack Del Rio running the defense. The defense is solid and sound and does everything. And Ron Rivera's on our show, a month or so ago, and we talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback spot. And I'm a strong believer in if you have a solid defense – and a quarterback that will not make the mistakes at crucial times, and you can run the football, that is a recipe for major success. I don't know if they have that, though, on the offensive side. I don't know. I got to see it. I just got to see it because I certainly can see it with the Dallas Cowboys. I can even smell it and see it with the New York Giants. But I can't see it quite yet with the Washington football team.
So you want evidence. Yeah, that's what you want. You want evidence. Real quick, John in Chicago. Curious to see who John's going to ask us. Quickly, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me on. And what about the Chicago Bears? I know it's been all gloom and doom, but are we really that scared of the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers, the Detroit Lions who can't get out of their own way, and the Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins?
It all starts and stops with Matt Nagy in Chicago. What is Matt Nagy going to do at the quarterback spot? Yep. Are we playing games, or are we just going to roll it out and let Justin Fields take us to the promised land?
Is that defense good enough that you can have just an average – like the Cowboys could be an average defense and the offense is good enough? Flip it. If Chicago has – is their defense good enough that your offense could be like 16th in the league and good enough? A lot of questions to ask, a lot of questions to answer. What teams are we sleeping on? We'll continue that next.